Well, praise you, Lord Jesus. Worship and glorify your holy name. What a wonderful praise and worship set up this day. Let's do the unaware sins prayer or confess your sins if you need to, please. Give an unaware sins prayer, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
Okay. Are you really teaching you?
Okay, so Sunday we had started a teaching called Freedom from Unforgiveness. And it's a very important topic. If you didn't get a chance to hear that sermon, I encourage you to go on our website to get that, abcchurchondemand.org. And we're using the same outline, and we're just going to focus on a part of it tonight to do a workshop on section B, avoid the bondage of unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is sin, which hinders your prayers. Number two, unforgiveness can result in being kicked out of the church, away from God's protective covering, into the devil's realm. Number three, unforgiveness can cause the person to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And that was explained on Sunday, all of these things. And we're going to focus on number four. Unforgiveness and self-unforgiveness brings tormentors. And so people may not think that they might have demons, devils, or evil spirits attacking them in the way of torment. How I usually try to identify that is if there is a chronic illness that has not gone away, or if you get healed and then the sickness was challenged to return, that's not a blessing. It's a harassment. So harassment and frustrations can be torment from the enemy. It could be thoughts of a trauma that keep reoccurring and you can't get those thoughts out of your mind. And it's like a video that keeps replaying itself over and over. That's old school. Pastor MP3 James says player, that MP4 we might player. Have to say MP4 players repeating itself since people don't use videos anymore. Anyway, something that keeps coming to your mind that's negative and that doesn't make you feel good about yourself can be a form of torment, okay? Beating yourself up, the woulda, shoulda, couldas, any mistakes or errors. Do you keep harping on those and reliving that scenario of embarrassment or shame? And if it's to assess what was done incorrectly and how you can improve and have resolution, and you just do that once or twice, that could be healthy, but not if it's constantly making you feel bad again, because that act was already done in the past. If you repented of it, you should remember that sin no more. When you remember sin, it brings torment, because God chooses to forgive us our sins. And he remembers our sins no more. No more. No more means
nada.
Nada. Okay. So what are we going to do tonight? We are going to focus on looking at if any of these are still challenging you. Do you get injured or trip or fall or have weird things happen where you hurt yourself, and you actually, you know, don't realize you're bleeding till someone tells you, or you bruised yourself up, or you did a dumb thing to yourself and you wish you could have, you know, learned from that lesson, and that's the enemy trying to bring harm to you. Self-deception or denial. Are there things people are trying to help you change, but you don't want to listen because you don't think that you need to hear that, but you still have so many challenges in your life? Maybe it's a good time to listen and see if there's any truth to that at all. Or take those statements that people have said to you that you might need a change in some areas. Go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? Do I need a change at all? Or are they incorrect? Go ask the Holy Spirit. Or ask a leader in the church, or ask, you know, a pastor in the church to help you with that. Because you don't want something to be blocking your blessings, okay? In case there is some truth to it, maybe it wasn't presented to you in a loving manner or a manner that was edifying, but maybe what was said, there could be some things there that could help you if you worked on them. Is that a possibility? Okay, let's look at self-justification. If someone comes to you and says, I think that maybe this could be improved in this area, and then you immediately punch back with a comment to defend yourself and your position, and not even wanting to listen to the other person's side, that punching back is a defensive mechanism that's usually trying to show that you're right and they're wrong. So ask the Lord if there's an area that you need to work on with that, because when someone is always defending themselves and has self-justification, it's difficult to build a relationship and move forward. Because the other person's trying to tell you something that might have offended them that you did, and whether or not you intended to offend them, it may not have been your heart, but what if they did get offended and you didn't realize it? If you got offended by someone else and you had the opportunity to talk to them so they would stop the offense, it would be good if the offense stopped, right? So we need to learn to do it in a more loving, gracious manner. So put yourself in their position, that it took a lot of courage for them to come to you, number one, and express their heart. I don't want to keep hurting someone if I didn't realize that something annoyed them or offended them. So I would like to change that. So I've asked God to help me work on every one of these areas in my life. I'm still working on it. And the Holy Spirit's there to help each of us. Now, self-esteem and unworthiness. If we see any of these things happening in our lives, then self-unforgiveness is occurring, and that's blocking the blessings in your prayers. So we need to look at every one of these categories on a regular basis and say, Holy Spirit, can you help me with it? Okay. Some of it you may not even realize could have been there. So what about someone's self-esteem? Say you did a really great job at something and it's just so natural for you to do this and it brings you joy, and people come up to you and say, oh my gosh, you did a wonderful job with that. And you say, no, it really wasn't me. It was just God. Yes, let's give glory to God. We should always glorify Him and Him alone. But if you're not taking credit for God using you and giving you that skill, that's a form of unworthiness. You know, my husband's really good at math. he does a really good job. And if he helps somebody figure something out quicker, you know, they thank him and he'll say, oh, okay, you're welcome. He's not denying that God gave him those gifts. So when I need something calculated quickly, I go to him. It's faster than my calculator. So do say thank you when someone does give you a compliment, because they're just trying to bless you, and they're thanking you for letting God use you to be a blessing to them. Okay. Self-centeredness. All right. Let's see. That's a person who usually just thinks about him or herself. At any time that you talk to him or her, that person never asks you, how are you doing? They just start telling you all the problems they have in their life, or how they figured this out or this, that out. And in a group of people, they're the main person that's talking and don't let other people say a word edgewise. Okay. I think that when we're in a group of people, we would like to hear from every person and engage each person in conversation so they feel included. That's the loving, godly thing to do, because they are important. And we would like to see how each one of them are doing too. Selfishness, that's when someone only thinks about themselves and doesn't think about sharing with others. If they have, you know, abundance, or they hoard, you know, unto themselves when they know other people might be blessed by receiving some of what they have. They also have motives that don't include others. They just want to get ahead for themselves and not take time to help other people. I'm sure none of you are, you know, like that. But some once in a while, you know, the Lord might say to us, hey, if we're always asking for prayer for ourselves, prayer, 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 me, 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 how much are we praying for others? And seeing how we could give of ourselves in prayer, even privately for them, and not focus so much on me, 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 and what's wrong with me, and go out and minister to somebody else and help somebody else with what God has helped you with. Ask the Lord to bring a person to you so that you could bless them too. Okay, self-hatred. A lot of us don't think that we might have a problem with that. But how about if you're taking care of everyone else's needs and you run out of time in the day to take care of your own, and you realize it's 4 or 5 o'clock and you haven't eaten lunch yet, or you haven't had much water, and someone might feel dizzy or pass out or need to go to the hospital. Well, that person didn't love themselves enough to eat right, drink enough water, do what they needed to do, because they were so wanting to take care of others. But remember, I'll say this often, you're supposed to love your neighbors, you love yourself. Even though self is at the end of the sentence, it means you have to love yourself first, so that you will have enough love to go around and give to others. So if you are strong and can help others, you'll be more of a blessing to them. But if someone is weak without nutrition or water, can't think straight, how are they going to help somebody else? Can't. So look at your schedule. If you don't have any me time daily, if you don't have God time daily, if you don't have an entire day of a Sabbath to rest, Sabbath does not mean housework. Sabbath does not mean grocery shopping. Sabbath does not mean that you're still taking care of everybody else. It means like Jesus went away from the whole crowd by himself up on a mountain, and he just literally rested and spent time with God. That's what we need to do. You need time for yourself during the day. And if you can't get away because you're a caregiver on a seventh day, can someone else be called to come over and help that person and take care of them for one day so you can take care of yourself? You might say, I don't need that. I'm fine. That's not necessarily true, because God commanded us to do it. So he thinks that we aren't fine. We will be fine if we obey his word. A cell phone battery that's not charged up cannot help, anybody unless the phone is plugged into it. So you think your phone is fine, but you got to plug in to re-energize that phone, or the phone can't be used. So once a week, you need to plug in with just you and God, and then go have some fun and relax. Because if we're constantly thinking about our daily routine, we're not going to be refreshed in our spirit, our body, or our soul. Okay, self-hatred will rob us of doing things for ourselves. Self-rejection. Well, everybody knows what that means. You know, you think, well, most people don't think they have a problem with that. Anybody that has an autoimmune challenge, that's your body rejecting itself. That means you need to repent somewhere down the line, or generational curses. Anybody that has any histamine challenges, that's the body rejecting itself. You may need to break some generational curses on that, okay? So self-condemnation, that's when someone puts themselves down. You ever heard a person say that, oh, they call themselves dumb. They call themselves stupid. They're not dumb and they're not stupid. But the devil wants them to think they are. So they need to start loving themselves, not putting themselves down. Self-neglect. Okay. That's, it's going to be cold outside, but you run out the door without a jacket, and then that person gets sick. Well, they neglected to make sure that they had a proper jacket, and they're not doing things that they need for themselves. They need something at the store, but they don't take time to go get it for themselves. They could do without for a while, but then they don't feel good because whatever they're needing is lacking. Self-sabotage and opposing myself. Well, I used that example on Sunday about, someone on a diet, and they're not supposed to have any sugar. And then instead of having a little slice of cake at someone's birthday party, just to, give a honor to the birthday person and have a little treat. They might eat three big slices of cake. What happens when they get home if they're challenged to be diabetic? Blood sugar is skyrocketing and it's out of whack. And the next day they're paying the price with the blood sugar being unbalanced. And if they don't have a blood sugar challenge, they were on a weight loss program. They just sabotage themselves and now have to start over on their weight loss program because the body's not going to be losing more weight. Self-punishment. Well, how does someone punish themselves? Well, there's a lot of different ways. One that comes to mind is when the person uses the terminology, I beat myself up because I made a mistake. You're punishing yourself for what you did in the past instead of blessing yourself to say, I'm forgiven. I'm going to leave it in the past. I'm going to be able now to move forward and not do that mistake again. Okay. So there are other examples of all of these things, but these are some that might help you. And you can go to the Holy Spirit and say, do I have challenges with any of these areas? And if I do have challenges, can you help me work through them? And the first big thing is forgiving yourself. And that's why the prayer is on this outline, where you could forgive others. And here's a prayer to forgive yourself, so that you could use that on a regular basis. Anytime that you have to confess your sin, and do you have to confess any of these sins? If you did it generally and said this prayer previously, but tonight you might have heard some more specifics that you didn't realize that you might be doing, then go ahead and do this prayer again, but using those specific sins. It's like peeling the onion down to another layer to get deeper and deeper to the core. Okay, so I hope that helped you. And I want to say this affirmation all together. Okay, so repeat with me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I love myself.
I love myself.
With the love of the Lord.
With the love of the Lord.
I have great peace.
I have great peace.
Because I love God's law.
Because I love God's law.
And with the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Causes me to stumble.
Causes me to stumble.
Or become offended.
Or become offended.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So I advise that you look in the mirror once a day if you have challenges with self-unforgiveness, and say this affirmation to yourself, and it will really help you to start loving yourself more. Hope that helped. Okay. All right. So we're now going to do communion. And Peter, I'm going to unmute you so you could do the body. And Gwen, I'm going to unmute you so you could do blood. Okay, do you want to do another Unaware Sins prayer?
Sure. So let's do an Unaware Sins prayer. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Cleansing me.
All unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9. Okay, Peter.
Okay, people have your bread ready. I'd like to start with the scriptures in John 6:53-58. Jesus was teaching, and there were multitudes around him. And he said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, if unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is blood, food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." And then John goes on to relate that many people became offended at him because they said, "We have to eat him, eat his body." But then Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:23 that he received from the Lord that which the Lord also delivered to the Corinthians, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he's betrayed, took bread and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." So as we take the bread, we are eating the body of Jesus. So let's receive the body of Jesus into our bodies now. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, giving your body for us.
And I agree, and I receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Peter. That was really good.
Yes, thank you, Peter. After the supper, the Lord Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." We thank you, Lord, for each of us are one of the many who accept this covenant of blood. You provided the blood, and we receive this covenant, Lord, by providing our bodies, not as a sacrifice of death, but as a living sacrifice, a sacrifice of obedience unto life. Lord, we choose to die to self, but to live for you. And as we drink this blood, the blood of Jesus, we remind you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus said, if we eat his body, which we've just done, and if we drink his blood, which we are about to do, then we shall never die, but we shall live forever. Lord Jesus, we shall be alive and be remaining when you return. And we shall be given a fully glorified body, and we shall put on immortality. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this, your precious life-saving blood. We thank you for it, and we receive every benefit, every blessing, and every promise that is ours through your shed blood. And so now we partake of this cup of blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
We agree and we receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Gwen. Beautiful communion. Thank you, Peter and Gwen.
You're welcome.
And who would like to do the communion for next week? Let's unmute people.
I am happy to do either.
Oh, Nick? Okay, great. All right, anybody else want to partner with Nick with communion?
I would like to.
Okay, great. Thank you, Nick and Sharon. Okay, Nikki, you want to do the body and Sharon the blood?
Well, that's fine with me.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
Are we not going to do the affirmations?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you for reminding us. You want to lead that, Gwen? Okay.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for that reminder, Gwen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Okay. Did anybody feel like tonight's lesson helped you at all?
Yes.
And in what areas? It could be general. You don't have to give specific, but if you could share a little bit, how did it help you? Peter?
It was not so much a new thing, but just a reminder, a refresher of walking in an unforgiveness and in self-unforgiveness.
Good. Praise the Lord. And Frida? I thought Frida had said something.
She did, but...
Mm-hmm. Do you want to share, Frida? Anything that that helps you?
The fact that unforgiveness brings tormentors. Who wants tormentors?
Yeah.
Right.
Very important.
One of the things we found in ministry is that 90%+ of the problems come from forgiveness and self-unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unforgiveness. Sorry, thank you. It's amazing how people hold on to a grudge that happened 40, 50 years ago, you know, mm-hmm. and that caused internal strife inside of people.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil's real good at playing mind games with the mistakes we made in the past. And once you totally receive your forgiveness, it takes that ability away from the devil to attack you in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've blown it. I'm done.
Right.
Forgiven. Go for it. You know, and just go away from it. And that frees up a lot of freedom from enemy attacks. So it's very important.
Yeah. And that's where I think Sunday I'm really going to focus on pivoting. How do you now start walking in forgiveness to the point where that animosity goes away? It's a long road sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but that pivot needs to start somewhere, you know? And how do you discern who you should continue your relationship with on that level of building a new friendship as opposed to someone who may be toxic to you and may not be a good idea to hang out with them? But you can intercede that God would help them and send laborers in the field to help them. Some people don't remove themselves from toxic relationships because they think they're supposed to stay in them because of the love of God. That's also a form of person may not realize that self-punishment because they're just going to keep getting verbally abused or mistreated by that person who has no clue how to change yet. So it's very important to know, discern the difference and to be in a healthy relationship or learn to make a relationship healthier with someone who also wants that. Okay. So those are important things to remember. And I just want to pray for you guys right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that as each person has really been searching, since we were only focusing on forgiveness and self-unforgiveness, that if there's anything still left that they need to work on, that you open the eyes of their understanding and flood it with light, that you change any hardness in their hearts to heart of flesh. That Lord God, that if there are any wounds of their hearts that cause fear and they don't know how to build relationships or they may not know how to get out of a toxic relationship, that Lord God, that you are going to help them. Holy Spirit, you're going to lead them. You're going to guide them. And that you will help each one of us, Lord, change our hearts so that we're not going to give in to anger or anxiety or frustration or offense or unforgiveness, but Lord, that we're going to have more love in our hearts for people, to have compassion on them, that you gave us mercy, you gave us grace, you gave us compassion, you gave us time and space to be able to change, and that we could extend that to other people. And Lord, people who are still very upset, would you calm them tonight with your peace that passes all understanding, guarding their hearts, guarding their minds. And Lord, that you are like a balm of Gilead to heal those wounds in their heart, in their soul, in their mind. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to share about something good that you got out of tonight's ministry? Shannon?
I like that how you described, I mean, even though we might know some of the areas and the unforgiveness, I like how you explained each one. Because some we know, but specifically explaining a little bit more of the self-hatred. I think you expressed that before in the past to me, and it was like a big awakening for me to say, you know, to define it as that, not knowing. So I think it's helpful for others as well as for myself. And yeah.
Amen.
Great. Thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a touchy subject, and we understand that, you know, but we have to go there. You know, by dealing with this situation here, you set yourself up for the victory to be coming down in the future. If you don't get rid of any challenge of unforgiveness and self-unforgiveness, it hinders you from the blessings to be coming. And especially talking about the wealth transfer, the things that are coming down the road, everything is set up, but you've got to have yourself the right vessel to receive those blessings coming down the road. It also helps you receive healings and things like that. Everything comes out of this. It's a very core point. And it takes a lot of self-analyzation too, because it's a very natural thing to do, to be walking in, especially self-unforgiveness because of mistakes of the past. But in doing this, we're seeing huge breakthroughs if you really get there. And we're very excited about it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's foundation. It's foundation for your emotional well-being, and its foundation for any physical healing. And I'm going to guarantee you that if you still have some physical challenges, that you need to work more in forgiveness and self-unforgiveness. That means that there's some roots that still need to be uprooted. So that's why are we digging deep? Because we want you to have a strong foundation in order for you to grow in the other areas that God wants you to grow in. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. I will close in prayer. And then I think who's on tonight for prayer? It was Peter and Annie.
No, it's
Susan. Susan and Annie.
It's me and Annie.
Yeah.
Me
and Annie. Anna, did you want Carol Early to give a testimony?
Oh, that's right. Carol's got a great testimony she's got to give. We want to hear that.
Yeah, Carol.
Sure. So I think just about everyone here knows that my brother was in the hospital. It was sudden. And we were all interceding. 633 has been fantastic. If you haven't already joined or bought the book, please do so, because we stood on that. Frieda and I went to the hospital, and that's what we were thinking about. And Claim and Tyler's rides, using what we've been learning at ABC, and Pastor Karen shared with me that I should probably have him accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And growing up, we were exposed to church, but that was ripe for him, he and his wife. And so they did. And we've all just been standing and praying. My brother has been working for the same company, United Airlines, for about 27 years. And he's just a really amazing human being. And speaking of which, he gives of himself, and sometimes doesn't take care of himself. And so he gives so much after 27 years, you know, the whole place there just loves him. I was able to witness that at his wedding. Most of them were co-workers, and just the way they loved him, all creed, colors, all races, denomination, they just loved one another. And here he was in the hospital. They called, so many of them called back to back to back to back. So many of them came. And his wife shared with me when I was there one day that his co-workers approached her to do a GoFundMe. And he said, oh, absolutely not. So she shared it with me. And I said, well, you know, I think if they want to bless him, it should be okay. I'll talk to him. But I didn't pursue it. I had other major things to go after with the hospital. And then in a couple of days of that, two of his co-workers showed up and told him that they were going to do it. They had already done it. And gave him the information. And one co-worker gave him $10,000 the first day. Another co-worker gave another $5,000 the first day. So they were at $15,000. And I understand it's upwards to about 20,000 now in 2 days.
That's amazing.
And it wasn't as if my brother asked for it. Just complete blessing. He's got, I think, about 6 insurances, so he can be at any hospital that he so desires. And in his mind, he probably was thinking, oh, I don't need it. But I think it was the Lord's way of showing him how much he's loved. He's so busy again, just giving, not taking time for himself. And I thought it was a beautiful gift. So got out of the hospital yesterday. Still has tubes in his kidneys, one on the left and one on the right. He goes to the doctor tomorrow, and we're just all believing that he has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and he will continue to walk. We had that conversation today. Continue to walk with the Lord. And, I'm excited for him. So you should be hearing from him, seeing him. I think a couple of you saw him on Overcomers last week. He was on one of the 633. And so that's been the blessing for me. Standing as a watchman on the wall. It's like rebuilding the walls of Nehemiah and having Frida with me and having all of you praying. Thank you. My brother sends his thank you as well, but he'll speak for himself. But I was just, I think the him coming out of the hospital and the blessing, the financial blessing, it's just all God, all God. So thank you for giving me the time to express and share. Back to you, Pastor James.
Well, it's always a pleasure to hear about something, somebody doing good for other people. Let's be honest, when these kind of attacks come, there's always something insurance doesn't cover, even just normal living expenses that he's going to need to help out. So
yeah, especially because they can't work.
Yeah.
But this is a miracle that he's even discharged.
Oh, right.
Multiple.
But he has, go ahead. Yeah, he has lots of coverage. So it wasn't as if, oh my gosh, his life is going to, you know, go in a different direction financially. It was one of those things where you have extra now, you know?
Yeah, and you know,
super extra.
That's super
overflow.
That's good. That's good to know. That I like the way you expressed that. That people were expressing their love for him, and the multiple diagnoses that he had going into the ER. This is an absolute miracle that they could even want to discharge this man. Yeah. It just he still has the road to go to receive the full manifestation, but I remember at Pastor Donald Gray, who's from in New York, and he's hooked up his church with us with the Morning Miracle book and Awake 633. It was giving a testimony how there was a man whose kidneys, they were afraid were going to be shut down, was in the hospital. He and his wife went to minister, And the Lord told him to tell this man that he needed to start doing affirmations. And I think they were sharing about the Morning Miracle book with him. And he started doing the prayers, 633 prayers and the affirmations. And then all of a sudden they said, well, you don't need three dialysis a week. You only need two. And then it went to one. And now pretty soon they're going to take him off of that and say, your kidneys are healing themselves. They're shocked.
And even the nurse said, this is a miracle. This doesn't happen.
Kidneys do not normally heal themselves. They can get better and stabilize where they're at to not have further damage. But some people do get better, but it's not a norm. So we just thank God that Basil's kidneys have been healed by the stripes of Jesus and to the point where he could be discharged. I mean, it's just wonderful. So keep him in your prayers.
Well, weren't you concerned when he first went in there? It was so challenging. He may not be coming out. Is that correct?
Correct. In fact, I was sharing that my brother has been with United for over 27 years, and he's a hard worker. And they were surprised that he was even walking around, that he wasn't already on dialysis. What had happened, he went to Puerto Vallarta working from United Airlines. He's been just all over the world. And so he and his wife took a quick trip. He is very much a food connoisseur and ate menudo on the street side. And his stomach was not feeling real good. Didn't have Montezuma's Revenge. So he went to the doctor. And the doctor said, oh, yeah, you've got, she brought something back, kind of a little stomach viral thing. I'll just give you some antibiotics. Well, he says, why is your stomach distended like that? He thought he was just gaining weight. So when the numbers came back, my brother had been working in San Francisco for a couple months, training some staff there. And doctor called him and he said, this is like on Monday, he went to the doctor. And by Wednesday, the doctor was calling him after he got the labs back. He says, your labs are really bad. Your kidneys at like a 10. It should be like a negative one. I mean, a negative one or a negative. And you're at a 10. We don't understand what's going on. So turns out that they said the bladder was full. The prostate, which is supposed to be like the size of a walnut, was the size of a football. It's leaning in on the urethra. And that's why he was having, I don't know, over a couple months, problems urinating. But they had put him on like Flomax or something. But he was just walking around. So he was a walking miracle. And so they said, go to the hospital for 2 days. We'll leak the bladder and then you should be fine. They were putting in what they call a Foley. It's a form of a catheter that goes through the urethra. They put it in and he had to go to the restroom and they said, sure, you can get up. And when he got up, they should have like instructed him how to get up. So he was bleeding Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And by the time Frieda and I arrived, did prayers, had, you know, led him to the Lord. He and his wife started doing affirmation. They had taken to surgery on Sunday. And turns out they had ripped the prostate and putting it in, you already injure it. Prostate doesn't like it. It's like the uterus. It just bleeds if you injure it. But he not only got the Foley put in, which is like I said, a catheter, it was also ripped in getting up. So the hospital should have known better. And it was bleeding. They didn't know what was bleeding. And they went in and, you know, cauterized a lot of the veins there. So as the bladder backed up, the kidney was also backing up. And then the flow of the blood was not being cleansed, so it was high acidity. And with all the bleeding out, he had 9 units of blood. And then there was an episode with his body. The neurologist called it a fight or flight. We thought it was seizures, and he's never had seizures, where you would see him, he'd start holding his temple. They said 3 to 5 seconds and his body just finally. So he had his wife about 6 bells and then throughout the night. He hasn't had anything like that happen ever, and it hasn't happened since surgery and, you know, more prayer, obviously. So the thing was really pray and watch. And the kidney kept coming down. They were like, oh, well, you know, got massive damage. They wanted to go through the
jugular vein to give him dialysis. We said we would wait a day. We did, came back, no dialysis. And then that's when they said, you know, the liver, I mean, the kidneys really need some help. Let's go in and put some tubes in. So he's got tubes from the left and from the right. And it was bloody at first.
Praise God. Yet, you know, they
now it's not.
That things went the way they did and he's out now. But you know what? The devil for bad, God used for good. He was attacked physically, but now he's saved. That's the most important
part. And his wife. Yes.
And his wife.
He and his wife saved. You know,
praise the Lord.
God is healing him. We're believing for complete manifestation of that healing. We stand on the fact that he's been totally healed and restored, according to 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes of Jesus.
In every part of his body, every organ, in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Lord, for this turnaround in Basil's life, physically, spiritually, in every way. And we continue to pray and agree until he has full manifestation. And every person here that needs healing, we just thank you.
Yes, Lord.
That prayer is the same for you, for your family members. And we thank you, Lord, for emotional healing tonight, from any trauma, from any challenges, in Jesus' name.
Jesus,
thank you and praise you and glorify you. And give God all the glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Okay. And so people who would like to stay for private confidential prayer, stay on with Susan and Annie. And everyone else, we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. And don't forget,
good Friday service. Yeah,
we're not there's not going to be a graduate school too advanced, because it's on the last Friday is a Good Friday. So we are going to have on that last Friday, the 29th at 6 p.m. Can everyone say 6 p.m.? So you remember that? 6 p.m. Good Friday service that Pastor James is going to do. And then, of course, our Easter Resurrection Sunday service on Sunday, the 31st, right?
March.
Okay, so we love you guys, and you have a good night.
God bless.
God bless. Good night.
No.